This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Yes, Father, thank you that we can come in this place and know that you are risen. You are alive. You are with us. Lord, you are here, Lord, because you came to save us, to give us life. Life more abundantly, and your heart, Lord, is to pour out yourself in us to heal our wounds, to wash us clean, to lift us up upon your shoulders and sing and dance with joy over us. Now, Lord, I pray that you will open our hearts, Lord, not to run from you but towards you. We must jump in your embrace, knowing that you are here for us, because of us. We thank you for this. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll open our hearts to hear your words as you speak to us today. And Lord, we invite you to come and reign in our hearts, that your word may accomplish its purpose, that it will not return void to you, but it will finish, it will complete its purpose in and through us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning I want to share about the body of Christ. And we've been talking a lot about this. Church belongs to God. Church is His plan, it's His heart, it's His design. And I want to remind you of Matthew 16, verse 18, where God says, Jesus speaking, I will build my church. It's the first place in the Word that we get this concept of church. The Greek word for church is ecclesia, which means being called out of homes to gather together in a public place, an assembly. There's a purpose of gathering together, but more importantly, being called out of something, being called together to something else. This is what church is, being called out of the world into His presence. In 1 Peter 2 verse 9, we said, but we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that God may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Isn't that awesome? God has called us out of darkness into Him, into the light of His Son. This is what church is. Church are those who are gathered together from all over walks of life, all over different cultures, different backgrounds, from all over this town. God is calling His people who are called out of darkness, out of the world, to His Son to come into the marvelous light. That's why we have Christians all over this town today coming together. That is church. That's God's heart. Church is not a building, but the people of God coming together in His name. It may take place in a building, but church is not a building. Church is the people that come together. And this morning, I want to continue here where Jesus says in Matthew 18, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am with them. And I want us just to look at that again. And I want to continue this morning. In English, it says, where two or three are gathered in my name. Actually, in Greek, it says, where two or three are gathered into my name. There I'm with them. And this morning, I want us to explore this into Christ. What does it mean to be into Him? This is a great mystery of church that I want to speak about. Because we not only come together because we are Christians. We come together to be with Him. We come together to be into Him. That's why we come together. Not just because we are Christians. That's not why we gather. We gather because He is here and we want to be in Him. And this is the mystery of church, is being called in Christ. Being into Him is part of this great mystery of church. Yesterday I was also sharing just around this concept. Church is called the body of Christ. And Jesus is the head. And I was just reminded again of Jesus speaking to the Father in Hebrews chapter 10. We have an account of Jesus speaking to the Father before the incarnation. And we know God is spirit. And Jesus is the Word. And we have this conversation where God says to the Father, you know, the sacrifices of bulls and goats, it didn't satisfy. So Jesus said, Father, the blood of bulls and goats didn't satisfy you. So you gave me a body. So here I am. I will go and do your will. I will be the perfect lamb. I will be the sacrifice. I will become flesh. I will become the lamb. I will become the sacrifice that satisfies you. So here I am, Father, to do your will. You've given me a body so that I can be a sacrifice. It's so powerful in that same context that God speaks to us as his people who have been called out of the world into his presence, that we are the body of Christ. We are his flesh. We are his bones. We have become the body of Christ. So powerful if you meditate upon this. But the church is called the body of Christ, and Jesus is the head of the body. Christ is the head of the church. And in Colossians 1 verse 17, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that everything, that in everything, he might be preeminent. How powerful is this? The church is the body of Christ, and Christ is the head of the body. Jesus is not only the head of the body, he is preeminent above everything else in church. All things are held together by him. Church is primarily, firstly, about Jesus. He is preeminent. Church is not about the pastor. It is not about shofar. It's not about the name of the church. It's not about the coffee. It's not about anything else except Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about the church. It's not about the name. It's not about the tradition. It is about Jesus. He is the head. He is preeminent above everything else, and he holds together everything else, because church is about him firstly. He is the life. It is his life, his teaching, his example, his kingdom. That is what church is about. If you take Jesus out of church, you only have a public gathering. If you take Jesus out of church, you only have a public gathering. Because church is not about the gathering as much as it is about gathering into him. So if you take Jesus out of church, you no longer have church. If you take Jesus' words out of my sermon, you only have a speech. If you take Jesus' words, God's words, out of my sermon, you only have a speech. Because it is about him. It is about his teaching. It is about his example. It is about his kingdom. And not mine. This is what church is about. Jesus must have preeminence in church. He must be the head. He must be the focus. He must be the one that we walk away with after the church service that we worshipped. Not the band, not the worship leader. His words must be the ones that remains in our hearts, not the pastors. He must be preeminent. He must be the head. He must be the focus of what we do. Otherwise, we are not doing church. But church not only has a head, it also has a body. And we, the people who have been called out of the world, out of darkness, that are coming together to be in him, we are the body. So church has a head, which is Christ, but it also has a body, which is us. And there's this intimate and practical unity between the head and the body. In a very mysterious way, there's this practical and intimate unity between the head, Jesus, and the body, his people. This is a mystery, but they are one. And we read of this in Ephesians chapter 5 that speaks of marriage, which is a reflection of the relationship between the church, the body, and the head, Christ. And here we get some insight into the mystery of the two being one. And listen carefully as God speaks. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he may sanctify her and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. This is a profound mystery, but I'm speaking about Christ and the church. You see, there's a profound mystery of the unity between the head and the body, between Christ and the church, the people of God who are called out of this world to come together into him. There is a unity. You cannot have the one without the other. In the same way, you cannot have church without Christ. You cannot have Christ without the body. Because there is a unity. You know what is one of the saddest things? To hear Christians criticize church. When Christians say, I love Jesus, I love the head, but I want no part of the body. It's one of the saddest things to hear. Because there's a great mystery how these two are one. You cannot have church without Jesus, without the head. But in the same way, you cannot fully have Jesus without the body. Because they are one. It's a mystery. The primary thing that draws us together out of the world, from different walks of life, from different cultures, from different backgrounds, we are here today. Something drew us here, and we are all different. And you know what? Normally, we probably have never related with one another. We have never fellowshipped together. But there's something that drew us here today. Something that we have in common. The reason why we've come from different neighborhoods and backgrounds, and we've come together here in this place, is because of God's love for us. We have this thing in common, that God loves us and that he gave his son for us. So we have something in common that draws us together because of his love. That is why we're here. But now, the same God who says, I don't just love you, I've not just sacrificed you, I am your father. The same God that says, you are now my child. You are now mine. You are now in my family. The same God that says, you are mine, you're in my family, you are my child, is the same God that says, let me introduce you to the rest of the family. Because you're not alone. You have more brothers and sisters. Let me show you the church. Because Christianity is not just about you. Church is not just about me. It's about the family of God. This is what makes church special. It's the same God that says, you must love your brothers and sisters also. I love you. You love me. You are my child. But let me tell you, you have other brothers and sisters. And as much as you love me, I want you to love them too. Ask any parent that have more than one child. Isn't that what we teach our children when they fight? See, stop fighting. It's your brother. It's your sister. You must be best friends. You must love each other. Isn't that what we do? Why do we think God is any different? It extends beyond us as a church. It extends to the churches out there. It doesn't matter the name of the church, whether they're Dutch Reform or AGS or United. It doesn't matter. It's our brothers and sisters. Now there is even greater reason why we have to love. Because God says, you can't say you love me, but want nothing to do with my family. You can't say you love me, but you want nothing to do with my family. Because I love them as much as I love you. And I want you to be a family. This is God's heart. This is I was just sharing about this, and I just had this revelation of God's heart for church to be a family. He calls us. He calls himself our father, us, his children, and together our brothers and sisters. And he wants us to love one another. Because this is who he is. Now there's even a greater reason why we do that. Because not only is God our father, God is love. God is not only our father, he's not only our savior, God is. Is love. God is love. And the more we know him, the more we will love like him. This is who God is. The more you know him, the more you will become like him. In 1 John 4, we read the following: Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And this is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we may live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. You see, God's heart for church is that we will not just come together to love him, but that we'll come together to love each other. That's God's heart for church. We have to love one another. As much as we love him, as much as God loves it when we love him, he wants us to love our brothers and sisters also, because he's the same father. Just as we teach our own children, so God teaches us. In the same way, you cannot have church without Christ. You cannot have church without loving each other. It's God's heart. 1 John 4 verse 20 to 21, if somebody says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. You see, you cannot separate the two. You cannot say, I love Jesus, but not the church. You cannot say, I love God, but not my brother. You cannot separate the two. Church is where our brothers and sisters gather together to form his body. And when we gather together, not only for an opportunity to love God, it is an opportunity to love each other. And that's why fellowship for us is important. That's why we have that grand coffee. Because we know you won't stay if it's re-coffee. So we spend lots of money buying you the best coffee so that you can stay. But the purpose is not to drink the coffee. Really, we're not selling it to you in case you've noticed. The purpose is not to sell the coffee. We're not marketing, I think, Tubador, what coffee do we use? We're not marketing them either. We want you to get to know your brothers and sisters and love them. Take care of them. That's why we do it. That's why we have the 2-minute rule. That the first 2 minutes after the service, first fellowship with someone you don't know before you fellowship with someone you do know. So that we get to know one another, because that's God's heart for church. I don't want a public meeting. I want church. I don't want to give good speeches. I want to share God's word. I don't want you to follow Andres. I want you to follow Jesus. I want you to follow his teaching, his words, his example, not mine. That is what church is. I want you to love each other, not being dependent on me to love you. I cannot love you all. You're too many now. I try. But church is about us loving each other. That is what church is about. We gather together not only for an opportunity to love God, but to love each other. And when we love each other, we love his body. And when we love his body, we love him. It's a profound mystery, but it is so simple. It is so simple. You can't separate the two, for he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? That's why he gave us this commandment. He who loves me must love his brother also. Jesus puts it this way in Matthew 25. He says, for I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty, and gave you something to drink? Or when did we see a stranger and invite you in, or needed clothes and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And then the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. There's this profound mystery between the head and the body. They are one. You can't have the body without the head. And you can't have the head without the body. Read the rest of the chapter. But when we love each other, we love his body. And when we love his body, we are loving him. You can't separate them. Remember Paul, before his conversion? He was persecuting the church.
He was not persecuting Jesus. Jesus was no longer there. He was persecuting the church. Meanwhile, Saul, while still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples, he went to the high priest and asked him for a letter or letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, to Jesus, the faith, whether man or woman, that he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. But as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell on the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Why do you persecute me? Why are you pursuing the church in anger? Why are you trying to destroy the church? Why are you putting obstacles before the church? Why are you doing this to me?" So Saul responded, asked this question, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." You see, you cannot separate the two. It is so sad to see Christians criticize church, do not come to church. It's sad to hear when people explain to me, "But my husband loves the Lord, but he no longer does church. He no longer comes to church." It's so sad to hear. Some no longer come to church because of pride and rebellion, because they do not want to be corrected or accountable or follow Jesus' teaching. They rather want to follow their own way. But you know what? Most people don't come to church anymore because of hurt. Because they were hurt in church. They got hurt in church. They got offended in church. And because of that hurt and that pain, they rather no longer go to church. They have lost faith in church because of what man has done to them. Because man has disappointed them. Man has hurt them. So now they move away from the body because of pain. And sometimes because of unforgiveness. You know what? It's because when we love our brothers and sisters, we become vulnerable. When we love our brothers and sisters, we become vulnerable. And sometimes we get hurt. God knew that pain very well. God knows that pain. When you love, you make yourself vulnerable, and you get abused. You get mistreated. You get taken advantage of. God knows that pain very well. He loved us so much that He gave us His Son, who humbled Himself, not to judge us, but to save us. And He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. They shouted, "Crucify Him." Jesus knows that pain very well. You know what He did? When He was on that cross, He said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." We read of this in Luke 23, and when they had come down to the place called Calvary, there they crucified Him. And the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And God forgave humanity. Everyone that comes to in repentance, He receives. God expects us to do the same. You know the Lord's Prayer,
And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And then Jesus explains that if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. Because God, as our Father, wants us as His children to imitate Him. God wants us to imitate Him. He wants us to love each other the way He loves us. And He wants us to forgive each other the way He forgave us. Because He is our Father and we are His children. And like any father, any mother, we would like our children to do as we do. And I trust the way that we live is a reflection of what we say. So God as a Father wants us to love one another. Not just because it is our brothers and sisters, but because He is love. And He wants us to forgive one another, not just because we are brothers and sisters, but because He forgave us. And so God wants us to live together, to come together because of His love and stay together because of the love for each other. This is why God calls church. This is God's heart for church, that you come together because I love you and you stay together because you love each other. Because we are one. So I want to end off with Hebrews chapter 10 verse 23 that says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as some is in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So let us encourage one another to come to Jesus. Let us encourage one another to come not just to the head, but to the body. Let us stir one another up to love each other and to do good works for one another. Because it is His body and He is here. He is the head of this body. He is the head of this body. Because He is here. So let's love each other. Because that's the way He loves us. Let us pray. Father, thank You for Your love for us. That while we were still enemies, while we were still sinners, You gave Your Son so that we may have life. Thank You, God, that this life is eternal life. It never ends. It never runs out. This life is in You, the source of life. You are the Creator, the Sustainer, the fulfillment of life. Thank You, God, that we can come to You, not because You're angry, but because You love us. And this morning again, we hear Your voice as You call us to come to You, to surrender all, and to embrace You. While all the eyes are closed, if you are here this morning and you've never surrendered your life to God, He's calling you today. This is why we've come here. And if you want to respond to Him while all the eyes are closed, it's very simple. You just say, Lord, here I am. Lord, I want to receive Your love. I want to respond to this invitation, Lord. I want to open my heart, Lord, for You to come in. I want You to come into my life. And if that is you, I just want you to respond by raising your hand. Say, God, here I am, Lord. I want You. Thank you. You can drop those hands. Thank you. Is there anyone else who wants to respond to this invitation? Because this is why we are here. Because Jesus is here, and Jesus' heart is not just for us who believe, but for us who still need to believe. If you want to respond to that, just raise your hand, because God loves you.
And then I also want to pray for those of us that are here that have been hurt in church. You have been hurt in church and you are cautious in your heart. You are cautious to be hurt again. And I really believe that God wants to heal your wound. He wants to heal your wound if you will just allow Him. If you will just allow Him. So if you're here this morning and you've been hurt in church and it keeps you from loving the brother and the sister that you do not know because you're afraid to be hurt again, if that wound is still alive in you, God wants to heal that wound. And if that is you, I just want to respond to God. Say, God, I have a wound, Lord, and I want to be healed. I want you to come and touch my heart. If that is you, I just want to respond, but just raising your hand. Say, Lord, here I am. Thank you for that hand. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Just where you are. Just say, Lord, I realize I have a wound in my heart and I need to be healed. I'm going to give another thank you. Is there anyone else? I really believe God wants to come and heal us of our wounds so that we can love the way He desires us to love. And then I know there's some people here, while all the eyes are still closed, you need to forgive. You need to forgive your brother and sister that hurt you. And if that is you, I just pray that the Holy Spirit just gently invites you to let go. To let go of that offense, that hurt, and to set the others free. If that is you, I just want you to just respond to God. Say, God, here I am. I need to set your people free. Is there anyone here? Thank you. Thank you for those hands. Well, thank you for what you are doing in us. And I want to ask you to do something bold, whether you're giving your life for the first time, whether you're asking God to heal a wound, or whether you're here just to set someone free, I want you to act upon it. I want to ask you to stand up and quickly, I'm going to ask everybody to stand as we just conclude with a song. But if you've raised your hand, if you want God to come and heal in you, I want you to come forward because we want to pray with you so that God can come and set you free from your wound, set you free from the unforgiveness and give your life. And if you've responded for the very first time, I also want to ask that you must come forward and we want to pray with you. So if everybody stands, if you've raised your hand, I want to ask you to come forward because we want to pray with you. We want to ask God to come and do it today, right here, right now, as you come to Him. Don't leave this place with the same wound. Don't leave this place with the same offense. Just come. Just allow God to come and heal. So I'm going to ask you to come forward. If you raised your hand, come. We want to pray with you. We want to pray with you because you've done something powerful today. You've humbled yourself before God. You've made yourself vulnerable. Not to man. You're not making yourself vulnerable to man here. You're making yourself vulnerable to God. And He's going to respond to you. So I want to invite you. If you want to be free, if you want to free, come. I want to ask some of the facilitators to also come and help us. We pray. I want to pray with these three bold people that are giving their life to Jesus. And I want the rest of the facilitators, if you can pray. Let's just give them a hand for their faith. Welcome. But let's pray for one another. Let's pray for those wounds that needs to heal. Rest of us, we're going to sing that song, that last song that we sang, the altar, come to the altar. We'll sing that song. And let's just respond in our own hearts. I want to ask you, let each and every one of us just take a moment as we sing this song just to respond to God's word, His heart for church, and commit ourselves not just to come together because He loves us, but to come together because He wants us to love each other. And as we have fellowship, let us put it into practice. Let's meet with someone you don't know. Why not invite them to your home? Why not open your heart to them? Why not get to know them so that you can love them? That's how we do love. We get to know people. So I want to encourage you, as we do so, spend some time, first 2 minutes, with somebody you don't know. And then with your friends. But I'm trusting that your circle of friends may grow.
that it may grow with those who are here, your brothers and your sisters. This is your brothers and sisters. I'm reminded of Jesus when they told him, your mother and your brothers are looking for you. Jesus responded, who is my mother? Who is my brothers? These are my mothers and my brothers. I want to declare to you, the person next to you, in front of you, behind you, this is your brother, this is your sister. You maybe never knew about them, but I want to declare to you, this is your brother, this is your sister. Get to know them. Amen. Let's worship God as we continue to minister.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.